Technical difficulties, but we good.
Always.
Man, I haven't seen you since like 2015.
Has it really 2014, been that long?
2016. Yeah. Something like that.
15, 16.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
I know. You've been doing a lot since then. Four years doesn't seem like a long time, but it is, you know?
I'm super weird with time.
What do you mean?
Like, I hate the fact that time passes so quickly.
Yeah.
So I try to do a lot, you know, in my lifetime. So 4 years for me is like, it's a lot.
Yeah, it is.
For me, it's a lot. Like, I'm happy a lot has changed in 4 years. That means that we've both been, you know, doing our own thing. But I get weird. Like, if I go 2 weeks with, like, something not happening the way I wanted to, like, I start getting a little bit anxious.
Ani-san, y'all.
Yeah.
Realtor?
Not realtor.
No?
Real estate investor.
Real estate investor, okay.
Yep.
Manager?
Yep.
Using my artist manager?
Yep.
You just opened Kokoda Chai?
With my brother? Yep.
Yeah, that's so dope. I mean, that's like the main thing I want to talk about because, obviously, you know, we're both Indian. We go to Starbucks and they ask us for chai tea. First of all, redundant.
Super.
And it doesn't taste like chai.
It's not even chai.
Yeah. So it's really dope that you're opening your own chai spot. And, you know, the opening was like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, today's day 17, I think. So we just hit our 2 week mark. Yeah, it's crazy.
And it looked like the line was like wrapped around the corner.
Opening night was a movie in all those ways. But I think more importantly, every day since then has been crazy.
Yeah.
And so I think that when it comes to building a sustainable business, that's what we're most excited about. You know, it just wasn't a fluke or it wasn't like a one-time thing.
Yeah.
We got some good traction and we're off to the races.
Yeah, and I mean, I did see some articles that were, or some people on Twitter maybe who were saying that you were trying to control the conversation and around what chai means, you know, and I didn't take it that way at all, you know. I mean, it really feels like you're trying to show non-Desi folks or, you know, non-brown folks what chai really is. And
yeah, I don't think it's about controlling the conversation, but I think we wanted to reclaim the narrative of what chai is, because I think chai is one of those things in the U.S. at least, like, it was brought to the mainstream consumer by someone who's not from the culture that the product came from. You know, like, I think Starbucks and some of these larger chains like popularized chai, but none of those people are from South Asian backgrounds.
Yeah.
So the whole narrative of chai in the U.S. is like completely upside down.
It just doesn't make sense. Like, why did they take it and not keep it true in any form to what chai is?
I think it's like, it's just peak colonization. You know, you go to India, you travel, you have a little, like, eat, pray, love experience. You drink your first cup of masala chai, and you're like, oh, my goodness, like, what is this? Never had this before. And obviously, instead of doing the right thing, bringing in people from that culture or developing it in an authentic way, you just, like, you try to synthesize it in a way that you can sell and profit from, you know. And, yeah, I think the Twitter thing was, like, there was just people who somebody was like, some guy, I don't know, he wasn't trolling, he was just like trying to like stick up for the colonizers, and he was like, no one should control chai, like, remixing culture is what makes food
great. I
think great.
That's what I saw, yeah.
You know, and I was like, remixing culture is basically appropriation,
right?
You know, and I'm not like, look, I'm not the most like woke person who's yelling about all that stuff. I frankly, like, I live and let live, you know, like, I'm a capitalist, like, I gotta make sure that we're very clear on this, like. But I do think that you can, you know, make money or do whatever it is that you're doing, but you can do it in an authentic way, and you can tell proper stories.
You know?
And I think our biggest thing with chai was, like, people are drinking chai, but they're not getting a proper representation of what India is or, you know, what South Asia is. And that was just, like, something we didn't want to, you know, we didn't want that blood to be on our hands.
Right.
You know, so, yeah, my brother and I just got busy.
I mean, that's, like, a big deal, opening your own brick and mortar, you know. I mean, I'm not sure how else you could be selling chai and, like, really, you know, do, you know, reclaim the narrative and do that justice.
Right.
I mean, that's, like, a real investment.
Yeah, it's been one of the scariest things, that I've done in a long time, which is saying a lot, because I'd be jumping off a cliff like every week, I feel like, just with real estate and music and this and that. I think for us, as important as the product was, it was also how do we control the space, you know? And
yes, in what way?
How do you build a space that authentically reflects the product? And like, you think about South Asian people in New York City, like, we don't have a space. You can go to like a Soho house, but that don't feel like home.
Yeah.
You can go to a co-work space, but that don't feel like home. You could go all the way to Jackson Heights and hang out in a cafe, but that also doesn't feel like a space that you want to really spend too much time in. And so for us, it was like, let's introduce the product, but do it in a space that's welcoming to the people that look and feel and talk like us. And that's been a big motivation for getting to, you know, the retail piece of the business. But it wasn't easy. It was scary.
Yeah. I mean, it seems like, I haven't yet gotten a chance to visit, but from online, it seems like, you know, it definitely has this, maybe serves like, you know, our generation of Desi and the South Asian people, or like first generation, or like young people, kind of like kind of modern take on what, you know, being South Asian is.
Yeah. I mean, if you look at like all these Indian restaurants in the city, they all have that one like look and feel.
Yeah.
It's like, let's take a working class Indian person, a Babu, and put some sunglasses on him, and now it's hipster and cool, and let's play like really obnoxious like Bhangra or like some type of like mix.
Yeah.
And have a brunch and we're the hip Indian spot.
Yeah.
Nah, fam. You know what I mean? Like, that's really not it. And my brother and I were super particular about like, that's not it. Cause that's not authentic. You're just trying to like Instagram trap people, you know, versus like, how do you build something that's actually like feels like home and feels like a space that we want to be in?
Yeah, that's awesome. I mean, I feel like a lot of your work is really, really hinges on the South Asian community.
You know, it's
not funny. Not directly, but this seems more like,
yeah, direct. I mean, I think that if someone were to land on me or kind of like discover me through whatever, the internet, like, it might come off that way. And it's something I've been thinking about recently, because I don't think I positioned myself that way, you know, like, and growing up, like, I really didn't have that many South Asian friends growing up. Not out of any reason or other. I was just, you know, I was on my own thing, and the communities that I was moving in, and music and sports and other things, like, not a lot of brown folks were in those communities, you know? And so I look at it now, and a lot of things that I do, whether it's a Nikon or whether it's Chai, you know, whether it's curating something in that South Asian space, like, I found myself there, you know? But I think for me, the biggest thing is like understanding how to take your culture and synthesize it into something that everybody else can enjoy and learn from. And my culture, yeah, I'm you know, product of parents from Kolkata, so my culture by definition is South Asian culture, but I'm also part of hip-hop culture, I'm also part of entrepreneurship culture, you know, there's a lot of different worlds that I live in, but yeah, I find myself in the South Asian space a lot these days.
Yeah, but you have that like immigrant first generation hustle, you know?
Yeah.
That seems like very, I mean, I think I talk about this a lot, like, on this podcast, but just, like, I think there's just a way that immigrants and, like, first-generation kids move.
Yeah.
Because what their parents gave up to come to this country,
right,
with $10 in their pocket,
right,
you know, and kind of not, like, but, you know, you kind of doing it your own way.
Yeah, it's funny. Obviously, we've been in business for 2 weeks, and, like, everybody wants to, like, hit us up, like, established restaurants, like, hey, can we pick your brain for marketing? And I'm like, yeah, for sure, you can. It's going to cost you.
Right.
But more importantly, I think to speak on what you were saying is, like, a lot of this comes from, like, desperation or just, like, that feeling of not having it that you can't really bottle up and sell. Like, that, you know, like, I tell everybody, like, you can recreate every marketing plan and things that we did and roll it out the same way, but if you don't have that desperation and like, that type of hunger, being a first-gen kid.
Hunger,
really growing up with very little, you know, and not knowing what your world was going to look like, you know, like, and more importantly, not feeling comfortable in any of these spaces that either your parents wanted you to end up in or the ones that you found yourself in, you know, like going to college and, you know, going I never really had a 9-to-5 job, but if I, you know, if I did, like, just, that's not a space that's for everybody, you know? And so the desperation of, like, yo, I cannot do that. I need to find my own path. I have to do something. That's where, you know, a lot of what I do comes from.
Yeah.
And that's just first gen. That's first gen hustle, you know, like you said.
I know, and you mentioned, you know, you're, you manage an econ, but before that, you were making music.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But that kind of, I mean, but how did you get into that? I mean, I feel like that was before you were doing the real estate development.
Yeah, for sure.
And how did your parents feel, you know, you being involved in the music industry?
Yeah. Music has a really strange, like, place in my life, because I started a record label when I was 16 and, like, started managing, working, and producing, and rapping, and doing all these things around music at that age. And I did it for a decade, like, for 10 years, until I realized that I couldn't take care of my family through music. And that's ultimately what, like, really pushed me away, but that'll be a part two, I guess. But music was huge for me because it was the only medium that I found that I could tell my story as a brown kid, as a kid that just always felt like the rest of the world just wasn't really moving on the same speed I was, you know, and feeling like an outsider always just pushed me to tell my story. And hip-hop music comes from that same type of origin, you know, like hip-hop music is black struggle that was geniusly turned into art, mm-hmm. you know, and then later commoditized. But it came from struggle and not having and feeling like there is no place for us to express our, you know, our story. So that was it for music. And I put in 10 years. I you know, lived in Japan when I was 22 because I did a brand deal with a company out there.
And, oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, like I was on tour with Wiz Khalifa and Lupe Fiasco. And I did, you know, South by Southwest and did tours around the country. I scored a Bollywood film with a mentor of mine. Like, I did a lot of things through music that people don't really, which is cool. Like, I don't need to, like, harp on that. But I definitely got my feet wet, you know, more than that. Like, you know, I remember, like, we ended up in Double XL, like, the magazine. I remember going to Barnes & Noble, like, buying, like, 50 copies and being like, that's me. And the person at the counter was like, okay. Like, you're next to the Viagra ad. Like, I don't care. But, like, I really gave music everything I had until I realized that my talent and, like, my hustle and my ability, like, I was selling myself short. And I remember I had this one episode where I was in Newark, New Jersey, in the middle of the winter. I was managing a tour. And, like, the promoter was trying to stiff me for $40. And I was like, I could care less about $40, but, like, the guys behind me, like, they need gas. Like, they need money to get home. Like, everyone's stressed. The last tour of the, you know, last date of the tour. And I just remember being like, yo, I'm 26, 27 years old, fighting for $40 in Newark, New Jersey. I was like, I think I could do better. You know what I mean? I think I could do better than this. And that step to walk away from music, to put my ego aside and be like, you have to now create a new identity.
Yeah.
You have to understand that you didn't win at this. To have that foresight and to have that ability to be like, yo, it's time to hang it up.
But that's hard.
Super.
Because ego.
Yeah. And at the same time, I remember Anik and I, like, Anik and I have been working together on some music stuff, but he was also starting to take off. You know, and Anik is coming up at the same time, and I was like, yo, A, he's way more talented than you are. Like, I had to admit that. Like, yo, this, if someone's gonna break out and be the first brown Bengali kid to do it, like, at least you've got somebody, you know. And I just really had to lay my ego to the side.
Yeah.
And then I remember I went to India like 2-3 weeks after this Newark tour, and it was just my time to be like, let's reset, you know, let's figure out what it is. And ever since that trip, I came back, you know, and started my first business with my brother, marketing agency, and really changed our entire lives, you know, changed our family's lives, you know, made not only a lot of money, but we learned a lot. We did a lot of dope stuff, took that, invested into real estate, invested into other companies, and kind of launched my part two, you know, of my life and my times, which is funny because I thought music was always going to be it. So,
but it feels like the thread that runs through your career.
Yeah. It's the same story.
Yeah.
But I think the bravest thing I ever did was, like, walk away from something that I really loved with the expectation that I could find something else and do it better. And I think ultimately I made the right decision. 100%. Yeah.
Yeah. That's crazy. Yeah, being the one who's... I mean, I guess with the cafe, you are, again, the face of it, though. You know, you kind of found... because that's the whole thing about being the performer, right? You're, like, in front of the people, and they get to know you. You know, right. I feel like this is another avenue where you get... You know, they get to know you.
Yeah, I think... you know, I've been through a lot in my life where, like, I've been through every imaginable hurdle that I think could impede somebody who's trying to do something great. And for whatever reason, I mean, by the grace of God, like, it's just never, like, mattered to me. You know, like, I've been through financial struggle. I've been through, you know, like, my family is all over the place. I've, you know, my kidneys failed when I was 24. Like, I've been through every thing that could have gotten in my way, and I've still, you know, been able to, I think, put numbers on a board. And I think that's just for me to, like, set an example to everybody else that's like, oh, I can't do this, or I have an excuse, or blah, blah. Like, nah, you can do it. You might just not be willing to put the type of sacrifice and the work that you have to do for it, but you could do it. Because if I can do it, you can do it.
And you're doing it in a really, like, expensive ass place.
And I'm doing it in the biggest city in the world.
Yeah. So it's like,
yeah, I don't like excuses. I don't want to hear nobody excuses, because I feel like if anybody had an excuse, it'd probably be me, and you'll never hear me complain or go down that road.
Yeah. I mean, you've also done, like, amazing things with Anik, and I mean, I met and you around the same time I met Anik, mm-hmm. and seen, like, Anik's, you know,
trajectory. Yeah.
Yes. So it's been really cool, and I think, like, you know, you took him to India and, like, multiple times, and he played at a festival, right? And yeah, it's just been, like, really cool to see y'all become, like, a great artist manager team.
Thank you, yo. Yeah, I mean, Anik obviously is a very he's a very self-sufficient artist. Like, he does, you know, he's a really focused, and he knows exactly what he wants, which makes everyone's job easier. But I think that from a mindset standpoint, and just, like, conditioning someone who's been through a lot of things to be like, okay, that's not the end of your world. You know, like, there's an entire world out there where we can go get money and build a business and make fans, and just molding, you know, that type of thought, I think has been, like, a big piece of, you know, what I've brought to the table. And with him, it's just personal, yo. Like,
I mean, that's your
girl. You know, like, yeah, it's just like, I can't let him fail, because there's too much riding on it for our entire culture.
Yeah.
You know, for our entire story. Because if he don't crack and tell the story the right way, you already know the labels are going to find MC Hare Krishna to, you know, come through and screw up the whole thing, right? So there's a lot of responsibility that comes from that. And, you know, like, we, at this point, we do everything together. Like, mm-hmm. I'll go to...
He's also in the cafe.
Yeah, he's also an investor and part of our board. So he's also a piece of that. And as that grows, you know, I want that to kind of overlap with his narrative. Yeah, and that was just me understanding that to bring him into something like that would be so much bigger, you know, for everything that we're doing collectively going forward. Like, I knew what I had to do. So,
y'all really doing the work. I'm really proud of you guys.
Thank you, yo. And yeah. And you said it. It's just about doing the work.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, you know, when you were making music coming up, like, you didn't see anybody that looked like you.
Nothing.
Doing it.
Nothing.
And now he can be that person for a lot of young kids.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, I think I had a really tough time with that in this country in general. Like, there was no brown representation at all for, like, when we grew up, right? Yeah. Like, now kids can see a Hasan Minhaj, and you can see an Anik Khan, you can see a Mindy Kaling, and you can actually, like, do something with that.
Yeah.
You know, for us, it was nothing. And so, for me, it was Jay-Z, you know?
Yeah.
And it was people like that that set the tone and inspired me.
And you find, like, pieces of their narrative that fit you, but it's not...
It's not the same.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, and I mean, really, like... again, reclaiming our narrative, and know, showing kids what other possibilities there are. Or, I mean, not even, but you can be a creative and be successful, you know, you don't, not just being a rapper, but
absolutely
any other kind of creative endeavor you want to pursue.
Yeah, I think creativity ultimately, like, shapes and moves the world, you know, like, culture and creative conversation, whether it's music, art, food, like, these are the things that connect people, you know. And if our people as a whole are being discouraged from going into creative industries, like, what does that do? What does that mean? You know what I mean? And, like, South Asia as a whole is, like, a hotbed of all types of artistic endeavors, you know, like, we are responsible for so much.
Yeah.
Language, music, you know, culture, food. And it's like, how are you as a parent or whoever it is, like, how do you not think about, you know, how do you keep that going forward?
Yeah, and it just feels like, you know, those artistic forms or mediums aren't, like, as not capitalized, but, like, you know, we don't, in the, when we become, go to the Western world, like, those aren't things that we dwell on.
Right.
Like, those don't make money.
Right.
Those,
we undervalue
hobbies.
Them. Yeah,
yeah.
Exactly.
And, but we do have a very rich culture of, you know,
yeah,
musicians and artists and,
right.
And it's so cool because I'll see, like, an Asian person now and they'll have, like, different colored hair or tattoos or something. And I'm like, I'm still like, whoa, because we didn't grow up with any of that, you know?
Facts.
Yeah. And there's so many more of them on, like, Instagram. Just, like, finding new people on Instagram and just, like, it's cool.
Yeah, nowadays it's a whole different...
Oh, yeah.
Scale is at a different place, but... Yeah, I think, like, untapped potential is, like, one of the worst. Unrealized potential, to me, is, like, the most disappointing thing.
Yeah.
You know, so I would hate for anybody, whether they're brown, green, you know, purple, to not do what their life's work is because they got discouraged out of it.
Yeah.
And I think I would... My job is to set an example the best I can, but yeah.
Oh, you're doing it.
I appreciate it. Yeah. I appreciate it. There's a lot of work to be done.
No, that's dope.
Yeah, I'm excited. It's been a really crazy, like, 18 months, but...
Is the dust settling a little bit now that you have the opening, or...?
Not at all. I mean, like, the funniest thing is my brother and I literally figuring out how to run a restaurant business in the past 14 days. Like, I was at, like, Apna Bazaar at, like, 8 in the morning buying chili and other supplies and then, like, going and scrubbing the floor in the cafe and making sure that we can open. But, you know, like, that's not what I expected to be doing at this age. But that's, I think, what makes it fun is, like, when it's your own, like, you'll do anything.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? And no, the dust is not settling yet. I think we have a long way to go. But, I mean, you know, as this gets established, it, like, rolls into Anique's project, which is coming, you know, in a couple months, and from there, like, we have, you know, all these other things that we've planned, and building different, you know, media entities and companies and things that kind of encompass all of this, of what we're doing, like, that, I think, is where we're all ultimately headed, and that work is, like, you know, it's just beginning.
Never ending.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, it's definitely, like, you know, the Chai Cafe is definitely, like, a model that can be taken to other markets, too.
100%.
Yeah.
100%. There's yeah. Everyone wants a piece, and I'm like, nah, y'all can't. Nah, that's actually not. Nope.
Yeah, sorry. Right.
Not right now.
Yo, so Anique's new music coming out.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so excited for that.
Likewise.
Yeah. Can't spill any details.
I could talk about it. I mean, you already talked to him about
it. Yeah,
right?
I'm just waiting until it actually comes out ago. For me to.
Yeah, I mean, I'd love for him to tell it, but if I had to tell it from my side of things, seeing him grow as an artist and seeing him grow into the artist that he is has been some of the most rewarding, you know, stuff that I've done in the last couple months. I think, you know, going to India and playing VH1 Supersonic Festival, like, leading up to that, like, I could tell that he wasn't sure entirely of himself yet. Like, he was still figuring it out. Like, yo, like, am I the one? Like, am I as good as people think I am? Like, am I? And we came back and we recorded the whole project in Virginia in March. And just seeing him, like, own that, you know, just seeing him develop his craft, spend way more time, put a core group of people together from a music side, and just seeing him, like, become that artist has been super rewarding. So, you know, regardless of, like, the details on a project, like, the person and the artist that you're hearing now is so much more developed, you know, than who he was even like 6 to 8 months ago.
Yeah.
And that's exciting, you know. And so, you know, the project is a two-part project. First part kind of depicts his life in this country as his visa is denied and he can't go anywhere, so he's making rap music. And part two is what happens when his visa gets approved and he's able to travel and create music that reflects his travels. So it's like this really cool duality, you know, of who he is as an artist, that ties in the immigrant story and the struggle and that, but doesn't solely just sit on that.
Yeah.
You know, it goes into deeper experiences that he's had with family and personal and women and friends and travel and all these things. So I know, obviously I'm biased, but like, music bias aside, it's just been really dope to see him grow into that artist.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I feel like, you know, his foundationally, obviously, it's like that immigrant, his music is based on the immigrant story. But now it seems like he's more focusing on his life rather than just like kind of the general immigrant story.
Exactly. Yeah. And we needed that, you know, because like, him giving insights into his life is going to be way more valuable than just being like the general counsel, you know, for young immigrants.
Yeah.
So I think people are going to be very excited.
Yeah, I'm super excited for both of you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Q1 2020, God willing. That's where we at.
I mean, you finishing out 29 really well.
Trying, yo. 2019 has been a lot emotionally, you know, throughout. I think it's like really easy to show how you win, you know, online and all
right.
that. And I try to do a good job of showing people exactly what's happening, but it's been a lot, you know, like you opening a cafe in Manhattan is no small feat.
Yeah.
You know, and the thing, and that's just like a tip of the iceberg of what I've done this year, I think, you know, and the toll that that's taken on personal and romantic relationships and taking on my own mental health, you know what I mean, and things like that. Like, that's something that I'm not really, I haven't fully synthesized yet, and that'll be like, you know, a year-end reflection. But 2019 has been a lot of up and down, just because every time you try to level up and you try to break through that ceiling, it's like you have to, you know, you have to deal with a lot more.
Right.
And so I've been like, every week, every day is different. You know what I mean? One day I'll buy a house one day and be like, all right, cool, we close, we're on the way. And the next day it's like, you know, you just got a new tax bill for 20 grand. Like, you got to figure out how to pay it. And it's just like the constant, you know, high and low. But I'm a very balanced person. I think I'm very, like, I'm always even keel because I know the type of shit that we have to deal with in this game. So, you know, it is what it is. But yeah, it's been a really challenging year.
Yeah.
In a good, you know, in a good way. Like, I was challenged to do things that I never thought I could do before. You know, and I think our family is more excited and proud and invested, you know, than ever before, which is like, that's all I could really want, you know. But it hasn't been easy, you know. And I think a lot of times people are like, oh, you make it look so easy. Yeah, nah. You know, like, yeah, nah. Like, I work every minute of the way, you know, my waking day. And that's not like, I don't say that on some like team no sleep shit. That's just
right.
That's just a reality.
Yeah.
That I'm still like learning how to, you know, make life a little bit easier on myself. But all that aside, you know, I'm excited. And I think if this is the year we built like a really strong foundation, you know, we just keep building on top of that.
Yeah, dope. No, I mean, congrats though.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. It feels even like 2 weeks ago, if you had told me congrats, I would have been like, for what? I haven't done anything. Now I'm like, all right, fine. At least I can go to a cafe and it's mine. And
yeah.
That feels good.
That's sick.
Yeah.
Right. Thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate you.
Appreciate you too. Good to reconnect with you.
Yo, finally.
I know.
Come on. You've been in and out in town, not hitting me up. What kind of business is that? Now you can always, now you got a cafe to come to.
Yeah, so definitely.
There's no excuses.